I'd like to encourage you to take out your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read verse 2 on that opening. To begin this study, let's think about the fact that we need to obey God today, right now, while there is opportunity to do so. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 2, he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, the Holy Spirit-inspired writer says this, that he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Indicating to us that when we hear the word of God today, it's possible, sadly, that we harden our hearts to the word and to our God. But we ought not do that, because I'll tell you this, if we harden our hearts to the God of heaven who created us and who will judge us, we stand in mortal danger. Look in chapter 4, verse 11 of the same text, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, beginning, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." And so you think about these things we've read already from the Word of God. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, because we will give an account to God one day. There is urgent need for us to obey the Lord today. There's an attitude among many in this world that says there's just no particular hurry at all to obey God. There's just plenty of time, they say, to think it over. Don't rush into anything, after all. But you know, the Lord, well, he does tell us to think it over, but he puts it in this term, count the cost. But the idea that there's just no need to obey the Lord, that there's time to postpone or put off obedience, that is a dangerous lie of the devil. And I want you to think of this. We need to beware of a hardening of the heart. Jesus warns us against delaying our obedience to him. He gives this instruction in Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. He said, "Follow me," to one. But that one said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Now we're going to pause there in the text and consider that Jesus called individuals to follow him. What a blessed relationship that could be. What a privilege it is to be called into the very presence and participation in life with the God of heaven. But you'll notice that the individuals did not deny the Lord altogether. They simply postponed or delayed their obedience. After offered excuses, the Lord then says something very important about those who delay. Verse 62 of Luke chapter 9, Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, can you imagine being invited into the presence of God, and then you refused the offer of salvation? To follow with him, to go with him, to be with him, and to be provided for by him. And yet, you say, "I've got other things to do, Lord, maybe later." And then he says, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." The Lord expects each and every one of us to obey him immediately, without any delay. And when we delay obedience to the Lord, understand this, our hearts are beginning the process of hardening. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God has said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's a warning we need to heed. Also, understand this. It's an urgent thing to obey the Lord today so that we won't be lost in our sin. But it's also important that we understand that preachers and the teachers of the gospel must go to those who will hear. Look in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find the Apostle Paul preaching the truth. But when those who were listening to him refused the gospel message, he turned his attention to others. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, Paul and Barnabas grew bold, and they said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." The apostle, he provides God's instruction. And he provides approval for this, then in the next verses that follow. Verse 51, "They shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they came to Iconium." The apostle Paul and Barnabas, they had a limited time with people because they know that this life is finite. They know that the gospel is so important that it needs to be preached to everyone. And if some are not going to listen, if some are not going to obey immediately, if some are not going to hear the word, then that word needs to be shared with others who will receive it, who will accept it, who will obey. A similar circumstance took place in Acts chapter 18. A few pages in your Bible ahead, in Acts chapter 18, look at verse 5 and verse 6. In this case, it says that Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia. Paul was compelled by the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and he said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." The Lord expects us to patiently teach everyone. But at some point, when there's no response to the gospel, when there's neglect, negligence, or out-and-out opposition, teachers and preachers are responsible to go find others who are interested in obeying the Lord. Now, let's consider this. The gospel leaves those who reject it without excuse. Look over in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, what the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, does is to bring an indictment against all of mankind, both Jew and Gentile alike. But I want you to consider this point in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. As he's speaking about the Gentile world, he said, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He says this creation, this world, and all that there is, leaves mankind without excuse for not seeking a relationship with the God who created it. Here we are on this side of the cross having so many faithful men preaching the gospel. How much more is the person who hears the gospel and rejects salvation offered by God responsible for obeying? How much more is the person who rejects the gospel without excuse? Look in Acts chapter 24 and consider the example of Felix. In Acts chapter 24, Felix heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul. And it says in that opening, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment that is to come, Felix was afraid, and he answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you.'" Well, as we often say after reading this man's text of his delay, we never read of any convenient time for that man. The hardening of his heart, in fact, would only make it more difficult, though not impossible, for Felix to obey one day, someday, another day, a convenient day. Don't allow this opportunity given to you by God to pass. Today is the day of salvation. Felix didn't accept the opportunity. Nor did King Agrippa. Look in Acts chapter 26 at the example of King Agrippa and his response to the gospel as presented by the same apostle. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, "King Agrippa said to Paul in his preaching of the gospel, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.'" But Paul then very passionately expresses his desire for all in verse 29. Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am except for these chains. This man said, almost persuade me. You almost persuade me, Paul. But you know, he wasn't persuaded. He didn't respond. And he remained in his lost condition. He is without excuse, having heard the gospel presented in its simplicity. And then you think about all the cases of conversion, all those who recognized the reality of their need and obeyed the gospel. They did so immediately. Now, we're not going to read all the cases of conversion, but I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, this is the day the Lord's church was established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The gospel, it was presented, not only offering salvation, but also presented the need for salvation. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, we find in part the gospel message being presented. As Peter comes to the conclusion of his lesson, he said, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, many of those gathered that day, they understood their sin. But they didn't know how to respond to God, whom they sinned against. And so in verse 38, Peter, by inspiration, said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter answered their question, and he urges them to respond obediently, immediately to God. Look in verse 39 and verse 40. Peter continues, For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and he exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. This is a matter of life and of death, not physically, but spiritually. Salvation hangs in the balance. And I'll tell you, the people who listened to the gospel, they had a choice to make. Will I or will I not obey the Lord today? And in verse 41, Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And then in verse 47, the latter portion of that verse says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, the gospel message was presented, that offer of salvation and the need for salvation was preached, and those who recognized the reality of their need obeyed the gospel immediately. And the same can be said of the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, of the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, of Paul in Acts chapter 9, of Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10, of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, of the Philippian jailer and his household also in Acts chapter 16, and thousands of unnamed people throughout the scriptures ever since. There is an urgency that's presented in the gospel. The urgency is a matter of life and of death, of your eternal life before God. And we've talked about that in many lessons. Why have you delayed? Why have you put off your obedience to the gospel? After a person hears the gospel and doesn't obey it, they're simply adding sin to sin. And that's why James, by inspiration in James chapter 4 and verse 17, said this, To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Each time a person rejects the invitation of God to obey, it's just further rebellion against the God of heaven. And the same is true for members of the Lord's church who disregard the gospel and refuse to repent when they are in sin. Willful sin is dangerous and will have grave consequences if not repented of. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10 as we begin to wrap up this lesson. In Hebrews chapter 10, we want to read verse 26 through verse 29. There, the Hebrews writer said, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Don't continue in your sin any longer. Will you or won't you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today? The Holy Spirit of God has said, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Instead, if we can assist you in obeying the gospel, then please let us know that, so that we can help you be right with God in heaven today. I thank you so much for your attention to the Word of God today. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.